contrary to what some of these people may manifest, the others of you, when I start preaching isn't when we go to sleep, okay? It's when we're supposed to be more alert. I'm going to punt again today about something, and I make you a promise it will happen next week. We were supposed to have done this 2 months ago, but we had so much stuff we were doing, I wanted to wait till there's the optimum opportunity. And so even though next Sunday's Lazarus Sunday, the little video is only 5 minutes, it'll be good because some of the other people can also see what we're doing. And that is our missions offering we'll take up next week. So I need to talk to you a little bit about it so it gives you a week to pray into it. Shelby was asking me a question the other day about what is our mission statement, and my answer was partly true. I don't think it was great. But as I was driving home, here's the funny thing is, as I've gotten, as time has gone by, this is the simplest thing sometimes will pass me by. And I got home, I thought, well, oh yeah, I was actually the head of this thing for a few years. I was over the missions thing of the CC, the IDA. There's no IDA now, but it's just part of the Patriarch's deal. But it used to be called the International Development Agency. And what Bishop Adler's heart was and what my heart was, one time I went over there to Africa 5 times in 14 months. And right now the missions really program in the CC really is pretty much Africa. And my passion was, all those years and what we shared and we took the people that end up birthing Integrity the first time they went, all that was to see the birthing or the rising up of churches that carried revival and then revealed the kingdom. That's really why the churches there came in the CC and to be a part of that. And that was really our passion, my desire, my heart cry all those years. That really was the purpose of existence for the IDA and the missions thing. What you'll see next week, what Bishop Bates brings to the table, because I'm not over the IDA anymore, there's not one, I'm still legate over Africa, which I represent him, is that he brought also a business model to try to help the Africans to be able to produce things that can sustain income so they're not totally always dependent on the West. Billions and billions and billions of dollars have been poured into Africa by many different people over the years, and sometimes it's like going through a sieve. One of the things I like so much about what Integrity has done is not like that. They've sewed into a community to do things that are sustainable. And one of the things that Bishop Bates has done, which we'll show next week, is on that side of it, to create things that the African bishops can do that helps their whole diocese be sustainable and multi-generational. But the passion for what we do, what we're sowing into, is that because if you have somebody on the street and they're starving and you want to lead them to Christ, there's been this sort of argument throughout the centuries. There's a quote called the social gospel was to feed them. The evangelical gospel was to lead them to Christ because you want them to go to heaven. But Jesus talks about both. Go back and read places like in 1 John. And that is what you'd want to do, is lead them to Christ, because that's the most important thing, but also make sure they have some food. And then hopefully help them to be able to feed themselves over as Christ cleans up their act from the inside out. And that's kind of where it's at. And the things that they're doing now, I couldn't do. That's just not my calling. And to help them create micro businesses that will be sustainable, multi-generational. But the vision is still the same, that there'll be churches that steward revival and manifest the kingdom of God and that can be sustained in some of the other material ways so that when I'm gone, when you're gone, until Jesus comes again, they continue to grow and they're able to be a source of sowing into other things, even materially and financially. So next week we'll show the video about that part. You've seen videos and stories. You've heard us talk about stories about the revival part of it many, many, many times. We're going to go back in May, speak to a conference there over a five-day period. It'll be 30, 35,000 people. We'll see thousands of people get healed. Many people come to Christ, get filled with the Spirit. So that, but when we were over there this last time in August, one of the things we were saying as it was happening, we should have a video of this. because we were even surprised at how well it was working in terms of them being able to sustain themselves. And so if you have sowed things into the years and you'll be able to see what we've done, what they've done. So that'll be next week, and we'll do an offering. It won't take very long. The video's about 5 minutes, but I think actually Lazarus weekend's a good weekend to do it. Okay? So you can pray about it and pray into what God wants you to do. All right. Well, what I want to do today is kind of pick... Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I saw you back there earlier. if you're a children, going to children's church, come and I'll pray for you. Lord, bless these little ones, raise them up to love sick followers of Christ. Amen. And one of the reasons I decided to put off the offering this week is when I was at Blue Jean this morning, and they had a small group for Blue Jean, and I figured, okay, this is the way of the world today, and we'll probably have some people who would like to sow into this who won't not be here. Everything that we do here, everything that I do, and everything that we do, that we touch, and everything that we have stewardship over in terms of the CEC is all about that, is that we'll have people and we'll have places. That's why the As and Oars ministry is just an outlet of that, another way of doing that. That we'll have people and places who will experience the fullness of Christ, and in expressing that, reveal the kingdom of God. And so none of that could happen without you guys, could have happened without all the stuff that you guys have done and sown into. How many of you are here this morning, actually, who've been to Africa with us or on an integrity trip? Just raise your hand. I know we have some people missing. But that's a good crowd. So, amen? Yay. I'm glad that Robin's here. Mike was telling me earlier you might not show up till after the sermon. He was telling me outside. So he was talking terrible. Well, Bracken was out there. He heard all the stuff you were saying, Robin, but I told him I wouldn't rat him out when you showed up, but it was, I told you, man, don't start a fight with a guy who has the microphone. Well, let me go over a few things that we've looked at, not last week, but the 2 weeks prior, and we're just going to build on it a little bit. Again, and I think it's important, I would hope that every teacher, every preacher, who communicates the word feels like what they're sharing in that season is the most important they've ever shared. You know, it'd be a terrible feeling to feel like you're now sharing something that's irrelevant as opposed to a season in your life when you were sharing things that were relevant. But I do believe with all my heart that what I'm sharing with you now, part of the prophetic word that God gave about this time that we're in, is He's putting pieces together, pieces of the puzzle, things are fitting, coming together. That's what God's doing. As I shared this morning with Blue Jean, I've shared with you before, I think what God's doing also is He's making things simple. The Lord doesn't want to make things hard for us. He wants to make it easy for us to enter into everything that He has. And what I'm seeing is, with a lot of teachers and a lot of preachers, a lot of proclaimers of the truth, is that the message is getting simpler. So that the simplest one, the littlest one, can enter into experience it all. Also want to say thanks for the worship team. Great job, Sam and worship team. It was awesome this morning. So there's a simplification of what we're saying, and I hope that it has a simple revelation for all of us, and it puts some pieces together for us. But I'm going to just go over a few things we've said before already, and just to get us, remind us, and then just take a small little step forward. Here are some things we've already talked about. Is that in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus carries every anointing, every favor, every blessing of God. He lives in open heaven reality. And because you're in Christ, you stand in that breakthrough. Jesus is the breakthrough. The Bible's passionately clear about that. Jesus is our breakthrough. And when we pray for breakthrough, which is a good thing to pray for, we're praying that we'll break through into seeing and believing and manifesting what we already have. Too often, Christians spend their time with sincerity trying to squeeze the more out of God so they can have it. When God's really wanting to release the all that you have in Christ already. I do understand when Cece was singing this morning, we pray, I cry out, we cry out for more. But it is important, biblically, that we understand we're not crying out to get something more. We're crying out to see more, to manifest more, to believe more. Because you see, I really believe that when they were singing that this morning, crying out for more, I believe God said, I'm crying out for more. He said, that's what's really going on. So everybody listen to me here. This is so important. God is crying out for more. He's crying out that we will enter into the more we already have. He's crying out that there'll be more obedience, that there'll be more faith, there'll be more risk-taking, there'll be more manifestation. I did a little devotional last week. I'm not sure what I said makes sense, so let me just say it again this morning. And that was, I was at home and just spending time with the Lord, and that old phrase that practice made perfect came to me. And the Lord said to me really clearly, He said, no, the reality is that perfect makes practice. And I don't know if I can explain it really good, but it just blew up for me like, wow, that is so true. When Jesus at the cross said it's finished, the word it is finished also means completed. It also means perfect. If you look up and do a word study, that's what it means. So when I say perfect, I don't mean perfect in that you become sinless or anything like that, but perfectly equipped, complete in Christ, have everything that's necessary. Scripture is very clear about that. But living under the law believes that if I'll just keep doing it right, I'll get more and finally it'll get all. But the truth is, you start off with more, perfect, so that you can practice. Practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect makes practice. An example would be 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And that's not futuristic. That you might become the righteousness of God in Christ. That's complete. Yet, it says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 29, if you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of Him. You've become the righteousness of God in Christ, but you can practice righteousness. But you can't practice what you've not become. Doctors don't get to practice medicine until they become a doctor. When you're a doctor, you're a doctor. Now, you may learn more about your trade, but you don't become more of a doctor. But they can practice medicine because they now are a doctor of medicine. And you and I are able to practice righteousness because, manifest righteousness, because we've become that. And that's true in all the Christian life. So just to reemphasize again, the breakthroughs that we cry out for, we pray for, the truth is, what Scripture is very clear, think through this. If you're in Christ, Jesus said, all that the Father has, I have. If you're in Christ, and you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, if you're in Christ, and the God of limitless ability has abounded all grace to you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work, if you're in Christ, every breakthrough that you're crying out for, you've already got. If you're crying out to get something. If you're crying out to break through into experience of something, understand that. That's a lot easier for me than to try to get something. Because what if I don't push the right buttons? What if I don't say the right words? What if I don't get the right formula down? What if I don't do the bingo thing? What if I don't hit the thing hard enough so it hits the bell and rings and I'm the winner? We start off complete. so that we can practice, so we can manifest. That's one of the dearest and most important truths throughout church history. We said last time, 2 weeks ago, that if you carry Christ, we continue to cry out for the manifestation of revival. But if you're in Christ, and He's your breakthrough, every anointing He has, every favor He lives under, all the blessings are yours in Him already, then you carry the spirit of revival. Revival is a manifestation of the fullness of Christ. It can't be more than that. And it should never be less than that. So we carry revival. And so as we pray for revival to show up, remember what we said 2 weeks ago? God says, you carry revival, you show up. God's looking for us to manifest the fullness of what we have. Everywhere we go, again, we said this in open heaven, we carry an open heaven. And therefore, everywhere we go in open heaven and the kingdom of God's arrived. Therefore, we should look and anticipate in its manifestation. This is a scripture. This is from Psalm 28:9. It says, "Oh, save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forever." And notice he talked about us being His inheritance. We know that He's our inheritance. But He says, "Oh, save your people and bless your inheritance." This is now from Ephesians chapter 1, 16 through 18. "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and a revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, and what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints." There are several ways you can see this scripture, but one of the ways is that, again, we're His inheritance. Then in what way am I inheritance? His inheritance. I'm His inheritance as His bride, but I'm also His inheritance as His body. And in union with us, we are the body through which He continues to tell His story. I'm His inheritance. He lived with a borrowed body that came through the virgin womb of a young girl. And we are now the body of Christ. Every manifestation of what we call revival throughout church history is because somebody that looks like you showed up and began to manifest that. And it was contagious. And fullness began to manifest in other people. And many times it would show up initially. The Welsh revival did. The Hebrides revival did, off the islands off of Scotland, through a teenager, young teenager, 13, 14-year-old. I tell you something interesting. I've always wanted to go to Scotland because I want to go, one, my heritage, the Scottish, McClure's, but I want to go to the Hebrides Islands. I've studied a lot about that revival. And we had a group of young guys here who came, Chase, and I can't remember Chase's last name. Fisher, sorry, Chase, if you're listening to this, but I can't remember my last name sometimes. Chase brought a group, two rows of young guys from Annapolis, Maryland. They were part of the national prayer group, and they do a six-month discipleship. And he wanted them to come to Selma and see what God was doing in Selma. So they came and hung out here. They came for a communion, and they came and hung out a little while. We just talked for a bit. And then they went to go spend some time with Bob and talk about what God was doing at Blue Jean. But we were just talking about revival. Chase says, like, tell him about revival, Bishop. Tell him about revival. And because he was hoping for them to just start manifesting the fullness of the Spirit. And said, now, talk about personal revival. But I got them to introduce themselves where they were from. They were from all these different places around the country. Several from Chicago and from Seattle. And then one, this nice, wonderful Scottish bro, said, I'm from Scotland. And he looked like he was from Scotland. And I just went, McClure. And he said that name that's in the movie, Braveheart, that nobody can ever pronounce. Like something. Yeah, that's what he says. Bacolic. I looked at Luke and I said, he's a McClure, can't you tell? Scottish? He said, yeah. And I began to talk to him about the Hebrides Revival. Just sweet young guys in his 20s, loves the Lord, and never heard of it. I said, you know, Duncan Campbell. He said, there's a lot of Duncan Campbells in Scotland. I said, Duncan Campbell, you can still Google him and hear some of his sermons. I said, Hebrides Revival was a short thing, but it was one of the great revivals on the European continent. And this whole chain of islands, it was sort of a lifeless spiritually, and they just all broke into repentance and manifestation of the fullness of God. It just transformed them. That didn't last very long. That's why we're praying for sustainable, the life that Jesus lives, right? But it broke my heart that here's an evangelical guy, loves the Lord, loves the Bible, born again, and never heard of the Hebrides Revival. That's sort of the condition that Europe's in right now, a little bit. But the Hebrides Revival, like the Welsh Revival, was a 14-year-old girl. I think it was like a 9-year-old little boy in a prayer meeting. Stood up, prayed a simple prayer. Holy Spirit began to manifest. People began to fall out before the Lord and just spread like fire. Because the person showed up. You're his body. I know that God can do sovereign things without us. But he's planted you with the Spirit of Jesus, the revival. And he sent you to Walmart, and he sent you to wherever all these other, there are 4,000 drugstores in Selma. I think we have 37 Mexican restaurants and 4,000 drugstores. He sends you to all these places to shop and go, not just to go run the errands and fill the list, but to lift up your eyes and to be revival in that place. And to believe that you carry an open heaven. And if that's true, if you're available, if he's still telling his story through you, we should expect him to do the same kind of things through us. But he can't do that apart from obedience. As somebody was telling me the other day, is that obedience is what faith looks like. That's what obedience is. That's all obedience is. It's what faith looks like. I mean, if you believe, you're going to act like you believe. You're going to sound like you believe. You're going to behave like you believe. Lord, I believe you can heal that person. But we don't ever make a move. So part of what we're kind of going forward again today with is you personally have broken through into everything. Remember what we said? We're not looking just for a breakthrough. We're looking for an outbreak. Breakthrough, but break out. Not outpouring, but overflowing, outflowing. The hope of his calling, it talks about in these verses. That you would know the hope of his calling. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? The hope of his calling is that we would reveal the fullness of his likeness and release the fullness of his kingdom. Everywhere we go, home, when we walk out the door, where we work. Remember these verses, these real familiar verses, but I want you to hear what Jesus says. Jesus said, this is John 5:17. It says, Jesus said, my Father is at work even until now. He has never ceased working. He is still working. And I must, too, be at his divine work. That's the Amplified Version. Now, that's in the scripture where the man who had been crippled for 38 years got healed on the seventh, and the father picked a fight with the religious people to let them know that people were more important than the rules. And so they're now beginning to question Jesus. Like, what do you mean doing this on the Sabbath? Don't you know that? They rebuked the man when they got hold of him and said, don't you know you're breaking the Sabbath to take up your pallet and walk on the Sabbath? I'm thinking, you're kidding me. Talking about a people who didn't understand who God the Father was. That's why Jesus came to reveal the likeness of the Father. We're called to reveal the likeness of Jesus that reveals the likeness of the Father. The whole world don't really understand who Jesus is. The Scripture says that He's the longing of the nations. The people who live in your neighborhood and where you shop, they need to encounter the real Christ. And the real Christ encounters people and changes their lives supernaturally. And I don't mean that just in miracles, what we call miracles. But first and foremost, it happens in the context of the miracle of servant love. The reason we don't step over there and pray for them or offer to help them or whatever is because we're more afraid of what they think about us than us loving them. Or we don't have time to love them. Here's the thing, guys and gals. Don't expect the Lord to manifest the fullness of Christ through you, to manifest what you have if you don't have time. That's what I mean by, and I want you to hear this. This is a prophetic word. And God spoke it to me this morning. It's not nearly so much that we're crying out for more. He's echoing, I'm crying out for more. We keep crying out for more and stay stagnant in our obedience, in our faith, in our risk-taking, in our worship, and everything else. He can't release the more that we already have. We cried out for more of Him. We can't get more of Him. He's crying out for more of us. Yes. Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Do you know the words, anybody? Sing it. Mold me and make me after Thy will while I am waiting, humble and still. I remember when I used to go hear conferences and my spiritual father, when he'd come over from England, would do them. Usually at the end of the week of conferences, he'd do the final, like, quote, altar call thing, you know? He would sing that song, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. And if you go through the verses, it'll be about your hands, about your feet, about your treasures, about your voice, about whatever. Then, like, my whole life. He would just say, look, you don't have to come down front, but whatever, we get to the place where you've not yet acknowledged that belongs to Him, just stand up and sing with us. If He's been calling you to worship and praise, and you've not given, if you've not been given your hands to the work of love, you've not given His feet in obedience, if you've not given your treasures, you've been holding back. Man, it was so cool to watch people just pop up and sing, take my life and let it be. Because He's still telling the same story. But it's a story of servant love that's manifested in signs and wonders. Hear what Jesus said, and we're almost through. Jesus answered after saying, my Father is working even unto now. And Jesus said, the only reason I did this is because I only do what He's doing, but I always do what He's doing. And I say what He's saying, and if He's saying this, I'm saying it. If He's doing it, I'm doing it. So don't get mad at me. It's your Father in heaven who's doing this. And Jesus answered and said, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself unless it is something He sees the Father doing. Whatever He sees the Father doing, these things He does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all things that He Himself is doing. And the Father will show Him greater than these so that you will marvel. He loves you. And if He knows that you and I are prepared to be the body of Christ, to manifest the fullness that we contain, He loves you and He will show you what He's up to. And Jesus said, my Father is working even up to now. Now let that sink in. What Jesus is saying is this. Well, guys, here's the deal. My Father is always doing stuff like this. If you think this irritates you, Wait till you see the next thing. But he's always doing this stuff. It's not like once a year, I feel better now. I talked to that person at Winn-Dixie. I did it for a while because I'm really proud of myself. It's a lifestyle. He says the Father's working even up to now. He's always doing this kind of stuff. My life is not my own. Jesus was able to say as a man, he's not living my story. He's living his story. This is his story. He's always doing this stuff. Remember what we've been saying lately? He didn't come to live your life through you, but to live his life through you. Not to live your story through you, to tell your story, but to tell his story through you. And he's always up to doing this stuff. It's always. So you've got to lift up your eyes. It's always happening. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I want you to be hopeful. You want to see people get healed? You want to see, Pamela talking about, you want to see limbs then grow? Then pray for them. Run to the darkness. Manifest what you carry. The breakthrough that you need to see that manifest you already carry. Stop praying for God to show up and break you through. You broke through. Now God's praying that you'll show up. Isn't that what Jesus said? The field is white unto harvest. I'm praying that the Father will pour out an anointing? No, he said, I'm praying that God will send laborers into the harvest. The point is, Jesus was saying that the Father is always up to this kind of stuff. If I'll just pay attention and give him my body through which he can express his miraculous servant love. Now here, this is really important. Remember that the miraculous lifestyle of Jesus is one of servant love, driven by the compassionate heart of God that thirsts to heal broken humanity. It said Jesus had compassion when he saw the crowd and did what he did. And here's a quote. Let me just read a couple of things, and then we'll be done. The miraculous servant love of Jesus, when manifested, takes on many forms and signs and wonders, not limited to physical healings, but certainly including them. Do you hear me? In union with him, we are to continue to take the gospel to the poor in spirit. What's the gospel? We'll pray the prayer and you'll get saved. No, that's the Baptist bar mitzvah. The gospel is the kingdom of heaven is here. It's good news that he's come to destroy the works of the devil. And he's come to you in me. Now, this is the quote I want to give. This is a Mother Teresa quote. We think sometimes that poverty, the poor in spirit, is only about being sick or hungry or naked and homeless. But the poverty of loneliness, feeling unloved, unwanted, uncared for, is the greatest poverty of all. You ought to give somebody, I've told you this story before, we'll finish. I think one of the greatest miracles that I ever manifested in Africa, so we were crossing the border from Rwanda into Uganda. And it took forever because we were doing it by land. So it was a gazillion people. You had to go through all this stuff you went through. And we're standing up there, and this lady, really poor lady, who had one leg missing and homemade crutches, dressed in rags with a baby in her arms, was coming up. She couldn't speak English, asking for money. And the Lord spoke really clearly, said, give her $100. That's a lot of money for it. She probably didn't have $5 a month. And then afterwards, somebody said, don't you think that's just throwing money down a rat hole? I mean, she's going to be right back in the same place. A month from now, 2 months from now, she's probably even selling herself to make money, and she's desperate. She was standing there at that place, crossing the border, and I said to them, and it was like a word that came out of me. I said, are you kidding me? So I don't care if she spends it the next 15 minutes, but she'll have 15 minutes that she'll remember the rest of her life. Memories that will remind her that Jesus loves her. See, that's a sign and wonder. The sign and wonder of the love of God. It's not just about miracles in terms of healing, so that often happens when you're laying your life down in servant love for somebody. You understand what I'm saying? I don't know if I'm doing a very good job of getting you to catch the vision. About the motivation. If you're going to carry the fullness of Christ into the world, you're going to be driven by the compassion of Christ for the world. And out of that compassion, it may be the simplest thing that you do. Help somebody put their groceries in their car. Give somebody a few bucks. Smile at the person behind the counter, even though you've had a rough day. And intentionally give away the love of Jesus. Or pray for somebody, and in that context, somebody gets healed. But I can tell you, if you're manifesting the love of Christ, miracles are happening in that person's life, whether you can physically see them or not see them. That's why those scriptures in John 5, John 4, lift up your eyes, see the harvest in union with Him. He's your breakthrough. He's the breakthrough. You're in Christ. Lift up your eyes and see the harvest through His eyes and do and say what He is doing and saying about it. Whether it's saying, rise up and walk, or all I got is $10 left. Lift up your eyes. See the harvest. Jesus said, the Father's even working on it now. It's always out there. It's everywhere. Lift up your eyes, see the harvest through His eyes, and do and say what He is doing and saying about that situation. Then you've brought revival. You never know, it may be the woman at the well that you minister to, and she changes an entire city and region. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.